Well, it's a good morning to everyone. Hope you had you rested well, and I don't know whether you took time to think through or recall the things we have been learning. They are actually very, very important for us if we can learn to understand what this whole youth conference is all about. Now, the only thing here that will help you to begin is you've got to decide, you know, I want to learn, I want to concentrate. If you try, you can. But if you don't even try, you just sit and your friends distract you, and you or you distract your friends, and we'll be all wasting our time. What a waste. Right, so you tell your friend, this morning I'm going to try and concentrate, okay? And you are going to do your best to concentrate, to learn. This is the last but one day. And then tomorrow we will end our conference. So if you can, try to make full use of your time instead of just... See, it's very easy because you learn how to switch off. You just try... Somewhere in your brain, it says switch on. Some green light goes on, because if it's off, you know, nothing happens because it's off. So I would like you to try very hard this morning. I'm going to review some things, and then hopefully what you can learn, still not too late, but you would like to learn something important for your life. Think about this. Okay, well, let's pray together. Now, Father, we pray that you will teach us how to ask you to give to us wisdom to understand what we are reading, what we are seeking to learn at this youth conference. I pray that you will teach us how we can understand a relationship with you as something special, something precious, something beautiful. We pray that you will lead us and guide us. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, now we're going to try and think about all these messages together, and we look at the world today. I mean, this is where you, when we talk to people about God, and you people begin to realize that, you know, people are drawing a blank. What is that? And because it's abstract, we thought of switch off, not important. That's a mistake, and that is something that we don't understand why this is the case, but this is really, really a bad mistake. Something that is vital, something that is good, something that is important, we just sort of not important. So if God is not important, what is important? Right? We ask ourselves, what on earth is important on this earth here? And this is where the world comes in. And the world, what does the world provide? The world tells you fun. Right? What does the world offer? Movies. What are all also music and all the things here? What was the world offer? K-pop. I mean, you know, all kinds of things like that are out there, and you name it. And this is what people say, wow, this is life. Seriously. That was in Japan years ago, and there was supposedly an actor who was coming to that part of the town there. Right? So dinner was at 7 o'clock. And I saw the whole police all blocked off, the whole area, packed. All waiting, so I was asking, hey, what's happening here? He said, oh, an actor is coming, very famous actor. I don't know who he is. Frankly, I don't care either. Right? And so they're all waiting for row after row after row after row, and amazing. And this is not young ones. These are older people. You know, old people also are fans, you know. Don't
think that all young ones, all older. So dinner, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 8:30, dinner was over. So this, they were still there. Now, we had dinner, but they had nothing, and it was cold. This was during winter time, and it was cold. And they just braved the cold, just stand down there, waiting and waiting. And then the person didn't come at 7 o'clock. Didn't come at 7, 8 o'clock, didn't come. 8:30, still hadn't come. I was just still just hang around and see whether, you know, just walk slowly past them back to the hotel just to see what would happen. 9 o'clock, still nothing. The next day, I went to ask the people, by the way, did the actor come? No, he didn't turn out. So the whole evening was just wasted, waiting for a guy to come. And do they know him? No. When he comes, what would they do? Wave. Maybe get autograph. That's it. What's that all about? This is better than knowing about God? I don't think so. I hope you understand what the world is offering. The world is offering all kinds of things. And believe you, if you don't be careful, you are going to be drawn into the world. And it will take you, it will absorb you, it will suck you in, whatever form. It could be, you know, all the things that you can be your phone. It could be Minecraft. I've never played it. I don't play anything addictive. I mean, as in nothing. Because I know what it is. Once you are in, you can't get out easily. You get stuck there. This is what the world will offer, and you will end up bluffing yourself, you'll end up deceiving your family, you'll end up a very different person. Do you really want this? You know, people who are non-Christians, they look at Christians and they say, wow, how wonderful it is to be a Christian. Then those who are Christians, they say, wow, how wonderful to be in the darkness. Why are we going back to the world for? Seriously? Do I want to go back to my old life? No. Do I want to go back to my old ways? I'd rather die first. What to live for? When I was younger, there were things that, well, we don't know what to live for. I mean, I think, what are you living for? You ask yourself one big question this morning. What am I living for? Ask yourself. And you will find, you're going to be very hard to find an answer. Okay, I'm living for what? For your family? Really? You're studying for your parents? Or for yourself? Probably a bit of both. But what are you living for? And a lot of people don't know what they're living for. So when I was younger, I like to read. I mean, I am a reader, so I read all kinds of things. All right? Literally, one of the things that I like to read about was when I was much, much younger is Knights of the Round Table. Have you heard of it? King Arthur. Anybody familiar with King Arthur? No? One, two, girls, nothing. Anyway, this King Arthur had this thing called a round table. So that nobody is the head. You can be seated here, you can be anywhere, but they all have seats. Now, in order to sit at the round table, you have to be a knight. You don't start off by being a knight. You start off by being a squire. Then you learn everything you can about it. You learn how to use a sword, you learn how to ride a horse, you learn how to read, you learn how to do good, you do all sorts of things. Right? But you must be qualified. You must be a gentleman. That's how we grow up to be a gentleman. Right? You learn how to be chivalrous. Right? Ladies first. Right? Especially when there are tigers in front of you. No, that's not chivalry. That's craziness. But when you have to learn, and you have to learn how to, you must dare to fight dragons. Wow. So if you have fought a dragon, you have rescued a damsel in distress, if you have been very kind, you must have integrity. Okay? It's very, very important. You don't go and rescue a girl in order to marry her. You rescue a girl because she needs to be rescued and you are a knight. Right? That's integrity. I thought, wow. Then you read about all those things that you realize, actually, they're all stories. They're not true. So what is there to live for? King Arthur, not true. Robin Hood, not true. Lone Ranger, not true. X-Men, not true. Avengers, also not true. So what is there to live for? Superman, not true. Batman, not true. You see, all these people, they are box office drawn. They make billions of dollars. Everybody watches them. Why? Because they are inspiring. I mean, imagine that, right? A few years ago when I was in San Francisco, there was a little boy who was dying from leukemia. And the police people asked them, the SF police, very interesting people. They asked the boy, what would you like to do before one last wish? He said, you know, I want to be a Batman. I want to fight the bad guys. You know, can you help me? So they got him a thing here, and they stood with him, Batman and his friends, and the police. And then the bad guys, and then they fought it out. And then the good guys win, and the bad guys lose. And the boy was very happy. That was his last wish before he died. They do things like that. Right? So sometimes the SF policemen will... You go to a restaurant and they say, sir, tonight I will be your waiter. And, oh, okay. By the way, I'm a policeman. Huh? Really? So what are you doing here tonight? He said, well, we are going to serve because we want to be part of the whole community. We have a special fund we're trying to raise. And tonight, your tips... will go towards whatever it is that we are supporting right now. And they charge a 20% tip. Right? So if you pay $100, you've got to pay them extra $20, it will go to this fund. You spend $200, you pay more. And that's how it works for that day. Right? So what are you living for? This is important. We all ask ourselves, and so God tells us, before we can start living for, the dead has to become alive first. All right, think about this. So God helped people to come alive. So if you find yourself every day, listen, today is very dull. Today is very dead. No. Seriously, you ask yourself, some days you look at yourself in the face and you're looking at a dead man's face. Have you ever felt that way? I just feel so dead. I feel so dry. You feel so... There's nothing to live for. Right? Think about this. And every day you think, today I have something to do. I am alive. God, that's important. Now, not being alive... It's always not much point because you can be a prawn jumping around. What's a prawn going to do? There's nothing to do but jump around. What for you want to jump around? Right? So what God says, listen, I made you. I did not make you a prawn. What I made you, I am going to be your maker. I am going to be the potter and you are the clay. Let me make you. And God says, this, you will be my workmanship. Think about this. By yourself, you are just you. But if God were to make a makeover, sometimes you have on TV or those series called a makeover. This person, horrible hair, teeth all over the place, looks horrible in every sense of the word, then go for a makeover and come out and say, wow, what happened here? Well, this is more than just a makeover. This is a workmanship. What can you become? It's amazing what people can become, right? So there is a man called William Carey. He was basically a person who made shoes. In fact, he said, I only repair shoes. I haven't even come to the stage of making shoes. I repair shoes. I know my leather, I repair shoes. God, workmanship of God, to the amazement of everybody in his lifetime. He went to India. And he spoke more Indian languages than the Indians. How was that possible? I mean, he actually was able to read and write in 40 different Indian dialects. I only know Vanakkam, Nandri. That's it, a few other words. What is that? This guy can read and write and converse with people. And you know, he never went to university. He never went to a university, and yet this was what happened. This is called workmanship. God can take a humble, simple shoemaker, shoe repairer, transform him, make him a missionary, help him to be gifted. In fact, when England wanted to set up a college to train their English officers, they asked him, William, come and be one of our professors. And so he said, you know, I want to tell you something, okay? I don't have a doctorate degree, you know? So how come you want me to be a professor? I don't even have a bachelor's degree. And they told him, William, all the PhDs that we have, nobody can speak 40 languages that you can. How did he learn? How could he pick it up? How could he understand? How could he have such a gift? Impossible until you have God's workmanship. Right? Now, this, think about this very, very carefully. Right, so now, this morning, we're going to look into this very carefully. What the Lord has given us. Yesterday, we talked about what God has given. And God has created a very special thing. And this is very important for us to take note of. So we have people who are scattered all over the place. Right? We have people over in Israel. We have people over, all over. They're called Gentiles, all over the place. And God was going to combine it into one body. And this one body is simply, we call it today, the church. Right? God's very great work that a lot of people don't know how to appreciate is to join all the dots together, and he's going to form the church. Now, let's go to look at it. So God has given to us himself as Father. He has given to us the promised workmanship. He has committed himself to building the church. What's our response to all this? See, we all take for granted, when many of you take for granted Singapore is nice and in order. When we grew up in our time, it wasn't. There were many problems. There was, you know, having aircon was a luxury. Today, it's a standard thing. Right? Going to school was very hard. Now you have all kinds of things made available to you. You have specialists and everything to help you to do, learn any way you can, every way you can. Last time in our school, if you don't go and study, the teachers whack you, you know? Sure, they slap you, they poke you, they draw blood. How do I know? Because I was one of the victims. It was, I mean, to look at the teacher is to be terrified of the teacher, because the teacher, some of them are called vampires. If you ask how to spell, how do you spell teacher? We spell V-A-M-P-I-R-E. They were terrorists to us. I mean, today you don't have, today you have well-trained people, you have good teachers, you have a good system, so much to thank God for, really. But look at it, what is our responsibility? What is our response? And this morning, this is what we're going to take a look at, okay? Very, very much. The work of God is to first reconcile us, and then to give us a church. The question is, what do we do with the church? Right? Now, this is something that we want to understand and appreciate what Paul was really trying to say here. So we're going to take a look. The notes you can read, I want to ask you to take a look at chapter 3. Right? I want you to take a look at chapter 3. And this, to me, is an inspiration to my own heart. So if you ask me, the person who has inspired me most, it would not be King Arthur. He's not. Would it be any of the other knights of the round table? Answer, no. The one who has been the most influential, impactful, was the Apostle Paul. Let's take a look at chapter 3. So chapter 3 is made up of two parts. First part, his testimony. Look at his life, and I really appreciate the way he looked at his life and he shares it openly. And so he said, okay, first, you have heard of verse 2, you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God given to me. Right? This is what God, he says, look at, Paul became a preacher, he became a pastor, he became a missionary, he became a writer, he became a founder of churches, he became a defender. I mean, you list a whole long list of things he did. That's an amazing list of things that he did. Right? This is one of the reasons why I followed him the way I'm doing still. Right? But we're conscious of one thing. One, it is all about the grace of God. Right? It's all about, this is what God is, remember, he is rich in grace. Right? This is God, and he has enough grace to give to you so that you can have your testimony. So if I were to ask you, what is your testimony of your life? Not your salvation, your life. What would you write? Can you fill a page? This is my life. Wow, what a wonderful life. This is my life. Every day I study. From the moment sun is up until the sun is down, I study. What is that? That's a student's life. That's it. But this is Paul. According to the grace given to him, he said, I want to share with you what I... Right? So you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You see, many people don't understand that these are all called mysteries. right? So plural, these trees. So when we say we want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, actually, it's a mystery. But what God is going to do is He's going to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to you. All by the grace of God. And the moment you understand who the Lord Jesus Christ really is, your life changes. That is what He's saying. Why my life changed the way He was a persecutor, He was a blasphemer, He was a bad man. I mean, the one without Robin, as in a really bad one. Well, think about this. Right? And his life was so changed. And he said, because God revealed to me Christ. See, how much you know of the Lord Jesus Christ depends upon how much God will reveal to you. Because otherwise, what you're hearing, what you are learning will always be a mystery. That's why you can't understand. Hey, I can't understand anything. I can't understand because it's a mystery. Right? You read a mystery novel. Who did it? It's all hidden. You cannot find the story until you come to the end. This is mystery, and God has to reveal this to us. Now, revealed by the Spirit to the holy apostles and prophets, that Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. That is what he was trying to write about in the earlier chapter. Right? So what Paul was saying is that Israel and the church and the Gentiles are now together at the same playing field, same level. We are heirs together. Really? We are blessed together, and we are meant to be one. This was a mystery that nobody understood. Very few people understood. Paul did. He said, this is God's grace given to me. This is my knowledge. This is my understanding. And this is what I want to share. I am committed to sharing this with other people. This was his life. Right? Now, this is something that we want to learn. I wanted to do the same thing. Right? So, 1989, it began. Let's go over to India. So, went to India and started work in India, the ministry there. Then later on to Perth, and then to Myanmar, now to Kenya, and so on and so forth. You know, it's something that we want to do. What is our commitment? We want to help people to understand who the Lord Jesus really is. And to many people, it's just a name. Oh, it's more than that. Okay? So here is the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. In other words, what Paul is saying to us here is that God was working on him. You see, when Paul was just a Jew, there were so many things that he thought, felt, did as a Jew. He couldn't be a Gentile. Very difficult for him, and yet he became. See, this was God's workmanship in his life. Right? First, the workmanship was in his intellect. God had to open his intellect. The mind, it became expanded. It grew in knowledge. And this is what you really want. A lot of people have very limited knowledge and they don't want to learn further. They think, I know everything I need to know already. You don't. That's why you're in school. Right? That's why you have to learn things at whatever level. At JC1, JC2, O-level, you name it. Every year, there are things to learn. Even when you finish your first year, first degree, your bachelor's, you still haven't learned everything you need to learn. You go on to a master's degree, you still have not finished everything you want to learn. There's so much to learn. But how to learn? In spiritual knowledge, God has to open our intellect. This is God's workmanship. All right? Now, two. The lot of things here, you will find the change. His character has to change too. Right? Now, very important. He has to change too. A lot of things. Paul had to change many, many areas of his life. And change is very difficult. I think we all ask you to get up early in the morning. Wow, get up early in the morning. Very difficult. You want to sleep until you are literally have to be, taken out. Then otherwise, you just want to sleep. Or you start eating, you can't stop eating because that's where you are. It's hard to change. But this is what we are looking at. The Lord began to change his life. Right? And then the workmanship went on further. God began to literally, he became a very gifted person. Now, all these things are important because this is all part of God's workmanship. Right? And you see, a lot of people don't realize that the gifts that God has given, they were meant for a purpose. Except that we just don't know what they are, so we don't end up developing our gifts. And so this is what Paul was looking at, his own personal testimony. Right? So he said, although I am the least, verse 8, I am the least of all the saints. Right? But he says, he was given to him that I should preach among the Gentiles. And so he did. Okay, now this is very important. Now, how to go about this change? I want to share this with you because this is important before we go on to what we need to learn today. Think about this very carefully. What is it that we need to look at, this understanding revelation? Look at chapter 3. Now, this is my prayer to us all this morning. So this was my early morning prayer, and I want to share this prayer with you. Now, these are not inside your notes. Chapter 3 is not inside your notes at all. I was wondering when I was going to teach it. So I prayed and then said, well, this morning I'm going to teach it instead. Right? So 14 all the way to the end in verse 21 is Paul's prayer. Well, let's take a look at this prayer. Right? So Paul said, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father. See, the concept of Father still there. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, we are a family. Heaven, earth. That's how big the concept is. It's not just Israel and Gentiles. It is heaven and earth. As a family. Now it's amazing to look at this insight here. When we think of ourselves as linked, we are family. And it is just wonderful to know that we can be this family. Let's take a look at this very carefully, right? So praying the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. What is this prayer? And some of you have written and asked, how can I be stronger? You pray. You say, well, I try, I fail, I try, I fail. This is what is needed. Right? A lot of us are not strong. You try to concentrate. After a few minutes, you lose concentration. You don't have the strength of concentration. Same when you study. After a while, you're very tired. After a while, you get distracted. After a while, you must play with your phone. Why? There isn't that strength. And so many Christians there are just weak Christians all over the place. There are very, very few strong Christians. Tell me how many friends of yours are strong Christians. You won't find too many. Why? We're not praying the right prayers. Look at this thing here. We pray, and Paul's prayer that will give you strength. What kind of strength? Right? Strengthen with mind in the inner man. This is inner man strength. It is not measured by how big your muscles are. A lot of people think that, you know, if I build muscles, you know, I'm strong. Well, physically, you may be. This is not that kind of strength. This kind of strength doesn't come by carrying weights. Doesn't come because you do exercises. This is a special work that God, this is part of God's workmanship. Right? This is part of God's workmanship. Have you ever asked for the inner man strength? That's what we want to look at very carefully. Now we go on further. Okay? Look at this very, very much in verse 17 now. Okay? 2, that Christ may dwell in your heart. You see, a lot of people may believe in the Lord, but the Lord does not dwell in them. There's a difference when we talk about dwell. Right? It's really to live inside you. And a lot of people do not have the Lord Jesus dwelling in them. He's just an object I believe in. It's a person I believe in. There's a difference between I believe in versus the person dwelling in me. That's a lot of difference. Right? Think about this. This is a special work that God must do. And this is a thing to be prayed about in the inner man. May Christ... Okay, now go on further to the next part of it. Rooted, grounded in love. Now, there are two words here. One, compared to a plant with deep roots. Rooted. Right? 2, grounded. It's like a building, grounded. And this is something we need to think about. And a lot of people are not rooted, they're not grounded. Because they're not rooted, they're not grounded. A lot of things we are learning is cannot understand. This is where love understands. It's a very difficult thing to understand. We all think that we are in love very easily. But when we talk about this kind of love, we're not talking about puppy love. We're not talking about, you know, a flesh kind of thing. We're talking about something far deeper. Something far more profound. It's rooted, it's grounded, it's deep inside you. And this is something that very few people have. They like to think that they love the Lord. Right? But it's something to be prayed about and something to think about very carefully that we go on further. You are able to comprehend with all the saints. So let's say we are talking to each other. What do we talk about mostly? If your hobby, we talk about a hobby. What else? We talk about the weather. Well, yesterday was very wet, today is very dry. What kind of conversation is that? Have you ever discussed with any the width of the love of the Lord? The length of the love of the Lord, the depth of the love of the Lord, the height of the depth of the Lord. And most people cannot talk like that. If ever you come to a point when you can have a friendship, when we talk about the Lord with such joy and love, then you know that you are rooted and grounded in love. A lot of people can't talk about it because that love is just not there. What's your favorite topic? Right? Today, the newspaper said the Chick-fil-A is in Singapore. Right? It's a Christian organization. And Chick-fil-A is a big, is a southern chicken organization, and is a favorite among quite a bit, almost a cult following, you know. And it's a Christian organization. So one, they want Christians to be managing as Christians. You want to be a manager here, you must be a Christian manager. If you are not a Christian, no. Wow. Are you planning to go down to Bugis Junction already? Think about this. And their managers, they wanted managers to be able to mop the floor. They don't want high-class managers. They want managers, and they will tell you, we don't open on Sundays. And they tell all their Christian employees, you should be there in the Lord's house on Sunday, not here. They actually practice their faith in real life. Chick-fil-A is Singapore. Pronounce it Chick-fil-A. That's what they're trying to do. It's a big chain. It's in size, it's next to Kentucky, KFC. It's a huge chain. They got thousands of restaurants in the US. They're coming to Singapore. At first they said, we'll not go overseas, we'll just stay where we are. But now they are drawn here. Now to see that they are going to try to, hopefully, to show them. See, this is how their faith is. My faith says, I serve you best, I serve you well. Right? Now, this is very important. But this is the kind of faith being put into practice. They want them to be rooted, to be grounded in love for the Lord. And then look at these things here, right? And then in verse 19, to be filled with all the fullness of God. This is Paul's prayer. Right? So it's not a straightforward thing. It's not, okay, we've got the church, that's it. It's much more than that. You take a look at your life and you realize there are so many things that are not in your life there yet. Right? You're not rooted, you're not grounded yet. Your intellectual part of it not fully developed yet. You don't have the strength and the might yet. You don't have the love of Christ filling you yet. You don't have the fullness of God there yet. Right? And all of these things are only a part of the thing, because there is something else God wants to give to you. Spiritual gifts. That is where it's at. Because you need all of these things here before you can handle spiritual gifts safely. Right? A lot of people want spiritual gifts. One of the reasons why God doesn't give them yet easily is because these things are not there. Right? So be careful. We could be like the monkey who sets a house on fire. We can imitate. We can do this. We can learn how to drink. We can learn how to smoke. We can also learn how to set a house on fire. You can't. But when you are properly there, and this is a matter of prayer. So let me ask you before camp or your conference concludes, what would you be praying for? Right? Now, you say, wow, this sounds to be impossible to look at the last two verses. Right? Look at the last two verses as Paul concludes his prayer, and he says, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So, can God do all of these things here? Answer, above all of these things, yes. Above what you can think, above what you can ask, God can do more than. Wow, that to me is a wonderful prayer. So this morning was my prayer was just based upon this chapter 3 part of it. Reading, praying, asking. Well, this is what I would like you to consider. Have you ever asked? Okay, now we go on further to one more thing. Watch this very carefully. Okay? Can God do it? Yes. Now, go on. Next part of it is, according to the power that works in us. Now, you ask yourself, why is it I can't understand? Why is it I cannot go beyond? Because you have not seen the power of God working in you. If that God, if that power of God is working in you, you'll begin to realize, you know what? I know I want to know more. I understand, I want to understand more. I am strong, I want to be stronger yet. If there is love, I want it to be even greater, deeper. This is God's power working in you, enabling you to be someone who can, rather than someone who cannot. Think about this. What are you praying for before we conclude this youth conference? This is already Wednesday. What are you praying for, if you are praying at all? And then the last part of it, right? According to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church. Where is it all going to take place? In the church. You are going to discover all of these things in the context of the church ministry. Think about this. Right? And so we really look at Teacher Gabriel there, and you know, we are just really thankful that God has raised up a fine young man who has all the skills who are there. So Esther asked, can I have the same skill? Have you ever asked, Lord, these are my hands, can you help me? Think, can or cannot? According to the power that works. Can, if you say cannot, you've answered your own prayer. But you take this prayer and ask. Same with you, ask. Can or cannot? See, according to the power that works in you. This power is more amazing than you think. It is not just Teacher Gabriel alone, but look at his own heart. I mean, I am very, very proud and privileged to know him from a young boy. Look at him. Last night we had a special service for one person whose family had suffered a bereavement, and he was there. Early this morning, he's here. Right? Now, he's far more gifted in music than I can ever be. Right? You know, he sings, well, this is very important. I remember a friend of mine who was saying that, you know, he was actually as part of a trio. And he was talking about how, you know, he cannot sing very well. But he says he draws encouragement from the Lord's word. Make a joyful noise. I'm very joyful and I'm very noisy. And so I sing. Well, this is one who is gifted, and thank God for his gift. And he is there. He wants to serve. He was there. Really, thank God. You know, you have no idea how busy our Lordship is. Right? Oh, he's a very good lawyer coming up and coming, and he's got a lot of things here, right? And yet he would take time out and together with his wife. The wife is very precious to my heart, and this couple, you know, we pray for them. You know, I'm just privileged to know them. Look at what God is doing in their lives. Why not you, young people? Why not you? My prayer. You come out as a next generation. One day, they're all old, grandpa. They cannot run the camp anymore. They forget what they say. But you can. Rise up. Pray. Understand, it's in the church. That is the concept. All of these things are going to happen in the church. The giftedness, the blessing, the power, the strength, the energy, the vision. This is God's great work. Ask, can I be a part of the church? Don't take the church as just 301. It's much more than that. It's more than just Bethel and Bethany. It's much more than just our churches. It's a greater work than you realize. But what greater work will God reveal depends upon how we pray. So this morning I want to share with you what I prayed about. And it's for you to discover for yourself the exceeding power of God that can be applied into your life. And see what God can do. Think about this. But let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to pray and to ask you to do a special work within our hearts, as you did in the life of the Apostle Paul, pouring into his life your grace, the riches of your grace. Help us to desire the same grace and power to be given to us. We pray for your blessing to be upon the church. Help us to understand our role in the great work that you are doing, building this house, this family of yours on this earth. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, you can go. Yeah.